thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Today for scripture reading from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 to 3. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's put our hands together and invite Pastor YC for today's message.
Good afternoon, church. Glad to be with you. This is the third time they're hearing me preaching sermon, and next week, another round. I'll take this opportunity to share with the church what is going to happen for the next few years. So Lee Kai Chuan Tao reminded me I have 30 minutes to share with you my five-year plan. And it's possible. With God, all things is possible. Amen. So pray that God will give me a word that I can speak. And I pray that give me the attention for this 30 minutes, not just to my word, but to what God is going to speak to us as a church and speak to you as a person, as a member of his body. I think that's the most important thing. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you. We avail ourselves to you and say that, Lord, speak for your servant here. So I pray that, Lord, that as your folks speak forth, Lord, your word will cause faith to rise in us. Dear Lord, that you open, Lord, our hearts and understanding, open our eyes to see. Dear Lord, our life will be transformed because you are alive. We thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start. On the last days of last year, 31st of December, I shared with you all, said that don't give up, finish the course. We're talking about, no, life is a race. So we are not participating. We are not just a leisure runner, but we are competitor. We go there, we join the competition in life because we set our goal on the trophy. Not just a trophy that's perishable, but imperishable reward that God will give to us. And that's why we say that, yes, you only live once, but then cherish your race. Make your race count. Make your race count. So make your life count. Make your secondary school life count. Make your children, make your childhood count. Make your adult life count. Make your marriage life count. Make your service count. Make your ministry count. Make every day, every Sunday that you spend 1 hour in church count. That is what they mean. And then after I realize that if you're going to start a race, there will be obstacles, there will be challenges, there will be something that's unknown that we will face. How are we going to bridge that? How are we going to feel that, no, we can finish the race? You know, yeah, I want to start the race, but how can you guarantee that I will be able to finish a race? Even though I say, don't give up, but my strength will fail me, right? But how? So that's how, look at this chart, we're talking about the overcoming faith, right? So we believe that God exists. He's the rewarder of all those who earnestly seek him, so that every issue that we face in life, and when we encounter God, it will be turned into all exclamation. Wow, God, you are so awesome. Wow, God, you are so good. Wow, God, I didn't know that. Wow, no, it's worthless. No, you cannot express it with your word. No, you're speechless. You say, wow. Then there's a song, no? God, you're such an awesome God. You know, that's all you can say. And you run out of word to describe him. And this is what we want to experience in our life. I pray that you experience more and more of this in your life. Every question mark, straighten the curve and make it a straight line, and you have exclamation. There's many turning in your life. God will straighten it, and it will become exclamation mark for every one of us. So today I'm going to share with you, if we know that there's a race and we need faith to overcome, and then this make our mission in life, the mission of the church, possible. According to 2X55, mission possible. This agape's vision, you know that, they know. We walk with God, you know, in Chinese, very easy, three words. So you walk with God, and then you walk with one another. Why you need to walk with God? Because without God, you are nothing, right? Without God, you're nothing. So we are called, we are saved by grace. And that's why that we walk with God, and we need the word of God, and that is where it is. And that is the thing that you, every one of us, have to do. Your cell leader cannot do for you, your pastor cannot do for you. Yes, I can pray for you, but you need to pray yourself. Somebody can read the Bible aloud for you, but you need to eat in the Word of God. You need to eat the Word of God, because man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You must eat the Word of God. You must digest. You must believe and you must act. So that I can't help you. You have to do it. So that's the walking with God. And then you realize that we need to walk together because God called us you know, the ecclesia, the call-up group of people, because God knows that none of us can satisfy our own need. We need one another. So God put us into the body of Christ. Some are hands, some are legs, some are mouths, some are ears. Let us appreciate one another's differences. But by not getting into too much, you know, and comparing and say, why this and why that? But learn to appreciate the beauty of diversity, which is very difficult. You appreciate a garden, there's more than one type of flowers. Sometimes it's very beautiful to see, you know, the tulips in Holland, you know, you see all the posters, you know, beautiful tulips opening. But they don't just plant one color. Normally they see that there's color, different yellow, blue, purple, whatever. It makes it beautiful, diversity. Even though it's of same kind, just like all Christians are same kind, yet diversity in color. Let your color show to add to the beauty of the garden of God, shall we? So this is why we want to walk together. And going on, you say that God bless us so much. So it is also a calling of God that God calls us that go and share and go into the world and tell the story of Jesus. Go into the world and make disciples. That's why we walk out and we want to share the goodness of God. And the vision verse, this is many years ago back in Holy Grace Church, you know, our senior pastor at the time, Reverend So, he received this of the Lord. And at that time, we were really doing a lot of this groundwork, you know, to the grassroots ministry, you know, in Bordeaux and in Tampines area. He said when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, Matthew 9:36. When you see, when Jesus saw this crowd, he has compassion. When you see, do you have compassion? So this is the work of the Lord. So in other words, he tells us that when you go out, you see, it has no compassion in you, then you find that you won't do anything. You won't feel that you see a beggar that come to you, you don't feel pity for the person, you probably won't dig up money and give it to the person, but you feel that this person is so pitiful, then it moves your bowels, okay? The Bible says, or it moves your heart, so that you what? You will dig up, you will take up money and you give to this person, or try to help the old person, old woman to cross the road. This is what you will do when you see. So what help us to see? Our eyes of faith help us to see. God opened our eyes to see. So, see, this is Jesus. When Jesus saw and his compassion, I pray that as a church, look around us, that compassion will rise within the church. And when you look around the people around you, there may be this compassion rise within you. And then we have this promise verse a few years later was given in Isaiah 49:6 that it is too small a thing for you to be my servants to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel have kept. I will also make you a light of the Gentiles that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. So it's like a promise verse that, no, this is what's going to happen in the future. In the future days, this is how it is going to be. You may not live to see, but it is God promised that this is what the church will be. So if you put these two things together, you realize that you have a vision verse, you have the promise verse, but you know that this is where we need to start. And this is how you're going to end. But what about the in-between? What shall we do then? Pastor, what shall we do? We know that it's going to happen and we need to have compassion, but what, in the meantime, how are we going to charter our course, our action, or what should we do? So I was reminded these few verses, okay, there's a time back in, still in Holy Grace, that time, there's a period of time that the Sumo Su touched on this verse and say that, you know, this is a verse, a few verses that they not really speak to him, and there were a few Sunday services that he spoke on these verses, I still remember. So I dig back these verses and find it's in Isaiah 54. He says, sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cried aloud. You who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtain of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nation and will and the people and will people the desolate city. So you realize that over here, okay, that of course Isaiah is a prophet, a book of prophecy. And Isaiah was giving this prophecy to the return of the exile. Then when they return, they are nobody. You know, their children are all gone, you know. It's a broken family, a broken home ground. The country are no more. They just came back to a ruin, to rubles. And then what is this? But Isaiah, through the Spirit of God, speak to them. No, he said, you thought you're not going to, God is going to bless you because the God come to visit you. Okay, the Bible verse is very vivid. He said the visitation of the Lord. So the Lord comes to your house. He come to visit you and he's going to bring presents to you. He's going to bless you. How he's going to bless you? He asked, he's going to give you more children than you could think you would have. So the barren become more fruitful. The one that never in labor will bear more children. And therefore, in anticipation of the children is going to come forth. Now, what you need to do, you need to enlarge the place of the tent. The tent is where they stay, just at the house. One room, one hall is not enough. You need 3-room flat, you need 4-room flat, you need more bedrooms, you need more beds, because you're going to have more children. So your tent will be enlarged. And then, continue on top of the stretching of the thing. I'll go into that later. So basically, this is the whole gist of this verse. So if you take the verse 2 and then you do a simple interpretation and then some structure, this is called the chiastic structure. So typically in a chiastic structure of the text, the middle one is the actual one. The rest are just supporting, supplement, substantiating what the important point which happened at the middle line. So in this case, it is this. All right. So enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtain and habitation be stretched out. Lengthen your cord. Strengthen your stick. All this you will do. But one thing you must, very important, do not hold back. Often we hold back because of fear. Often we hold back because we think the price is too high. Often we hold back because we do not want it. Right? Sometimes you hold back just because you don't even have the desire for it. So what? That's why you hold back. You don't want. You don't spend money. What should I spend money for? All this. I don't like all this. I don't use this kind of stuff. You want to spend the money. You hold back. And often in the work of God, fear is the most important thing that comes to us. You know, when fear comes, it's the greatest enemy. And then the little faith that we have, the other one is a lot of things that we want in our life, because we always want to be the master of our life. We call him Lord, but we are the capital L. He's a little L Lord. And then because of that, then you will hold back. Because 我说了算了,不是主说了算了. My money is my money. I decide to spend. You don't need to ask twice, right? You ask God twice how you spend my money? You only ask God who you shall get married. But when you fall in love with somebody, you say, God, that's the one that I should get married. And I think that you will agree with me. Do not hold back. So here you see that this is a vision that being given to Isaiah for the future of the Israelites that came back. And this is it. See, you have to do it now. The vision is cast and they have to take action. This is what it will. So this is how it looks like in the tent. In the middle is the Palestinian. Okay, enlarge the place, the tent, and this is the rope. Okay, you tie those guys who've been in army or in school. You go to camp, you know that. You need all this to hold the tent together, right? So, do not hold back. How big are you going to extend the tent? Do not hold back. How long is your cord? How big is your curtain? How large is the cover? That will determine whether you're holding back or not. Some of us, yes, we come to, for example, we come to tithing, we come to giving to the Lord. Say, 10% is a lot already. Right? So if there's need, there's more than what the 10%, 10% is to the Lord. But there's more other need, then how should we, you know, give to all this? Holding back. Only you will know what you're holding back. People cannot tell you. Sometimes we kind of can guess, but most of the time you know it. What are the things that you're holding back? You're not giving it fully or trusting God in all that you do or in your life. So here about enlarge the place of your tent and stretch the tent curtain wide and do not hold back. Enlarge means what? You enlarge means you expand from your current. So in other words, what is your current? What is the ground that God has given you? What's the relationship? What is the social circle? God has given you this. He said now you expand your influence, expand your impact onto the people that are around you, your families who have not known Christ, your classmates, anyone, expand. You give that little, can you expand the giving a little bit more so that more people will be blessed? Expand from the current. That is expansion. And this is talking about coverage. You can do more. The same thing, similar thing, but do more. Right? This is what it is. The second one is to stretch. To stretch is to go beyond. Go beyond your comfort zone. Go beyond what you're doing. It's not just a norm, but something that's not norm. That's called go beyond. You always trade in Singapore market. Now your company want to expand into Japanese market. Do you know the Japanese economy, how Japanese do business? Do you know? You go beyond, you stretch yourself. You try to find out. You go beyond. And this is what we're talking about, reach. You see, the gospel have this coverage and this reach. Right? The coverage is that when Jesus walk around and go to the villages and preach to them, he's just covering that area. But when come to the great commandment or the great commission, go ye into all the earth and preach the gospel to all creation. There's a reach. God covers it, and God covers us, but he gives us it there, not just here. Because now you have with me, because when Christ, when God become man, he can only travel that many KMs or many miles within the Galilee, the Palestinian land. He cannot travel. Even Paul in his life for the 3 or 4 missionary trip, how far can he carry? Can he come to China, Indonesia? Never. Only that little land. But I tell you that the covering is expanding. But there's also the other reach that we need to go beyond. So do you have you in your 2024 PDP or in your own personal development plan? Anything that you think that you need to use your faith to overcome to go beyond? Maybe financially you need to trust God more. Maybe relationships need you to stretch yourself a little bit to be more patient perhaps, more forgiving perhaps, which you never do. Or you expand the heart of yours can accommodate the diversity of your cell group members or the difference of opinion within your ministry team members and yet can live harmoniously like the beautiful rows of tulips of different colors. Would you? Or you would like to see all green, all yellow, all red, the whole church wear same agape t-shirt. A few of you wearing today. Diversity is not easy. It expands you. It stretches you. So can you, how do you able to do that? And there's a two part that we need to do it. Lengthen and strengthen. The lengthen is to keep the connection. Why you need the rope? The rope is to keep everything in place. So that tells us that it is the love. When you extend, when you lengthen, if you don't have relationship, you don't have love. All that you give is stress. Okay? When you stretch something without love, you are giving stress. Can you say that? If you what give something, you stress something without love, you are stressing the other way. So you are in the ministry and you say words or you do things, sometimes you're just stressing people out because you're stretching the guy, expecting the guy to do something, but there's no love in it. You may say all the right thing, but there's no love to connect. It's just pure stretching. It's very stressful to be in that situation. Have you been stretched? Have you been stressed in ministry, in service, in life, in work, in relationship with your boss, with your colleagues, with your family members? Keep the connection. And God said that he has given us the Holy Spirit. And he poured his love through his Holy Spirit into our heart. So daily we need to refill with the love of God. So that in word, in deed, in speech, in all that we think and do, we can honor him. That each time we come to somebody, we talk to somebody, we go away, the person feel blessed, feel enlightened, feel comforted, feel encouraged, feel like he's been given strength because he has spoke to you this morning, have breakfast with you, have a chit-chat session with you. You're able to do that. That is lengthen. And then you need to strengthen. What are you need to strengthen? Firmly grounded in the Word of God. You need to be firmly grounded. Yes, you need to love. But love is not a whimsy thought. It's just a good feeling. It's not that if you feel good, it must be right. No, sometimes you feel good, it's totally wrong. You ask a drunken man, he feel good. But it's wrong. You go to people that who cohabitate, it's wrong. Love rejoices with truth, not with sin. Love rejoices with truth. So you need to be grounded in the truth, in the Word of God. So only with the love and firmly grounded in the Word of God, with our faith, can you expand? Can you stretch? If not, you will just be your own self. Remember Jesus said the parable? An old wineskin cannot take new wine. If God were to do a new work in our life, And this old wineskin, you will burst. You will be stretched and stressed, and you will just burst. And you decide, I'm not going to quit the church, I'm going to quit Jesus, I'm going to quit the cell, I'm going to quit anything. Lengthen, strengthen. Keep the love connection in whatever you do. Be gracious to one another. Sometimes you may be at the disadvantaged side, so-called. God is just. He knows. He knows. So don't have to, everything, you know, I have to be on the right side. You know, I must always get my fair share of justice in this life. Sometimes leave it to God. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, he said. Strengthen with the word of God and keep the love connection. So we need the overcoming faith. To do that, you realize that's why the faith is important, right? I shared with you last week about these three connections. Overcome reason, overcome visible. What is visible? Overcome what is currently now. You know why these three? I didn't share with you the previous one, the sermon, right? Basically, it's connection with God. The first one is connect with the omniscient God, the God who knows all, who all wise. The second one is connect to the omnipotent God, the God that can do all things, even you can't see. But the last one is the omnipresence God, who stretched beyond the temporal, so you can be sure of the reward in the future. He exists. When did he exist? I am that I am. And I will come again, and I will reward those who earnestly seek me. And we live in this span of time. This is a little bit tiny of a slit of time that we lived in. And God says, yes, but I come that you may be connected to me. You see how wonderful the gospel is? He come to offer us a connection. So can you offer that connection, true connection of love and grace and truth with one another in the church, in your family, in your school, in your friends? So when we look at that, faith works. When faith works. Does your faith work? You say, oh, faith doesn't work. Faith works when faith works. So faith takes action. And the action proves that faith exists. And the action proof that faith is truly the key to connection with God. I just share with you, there's many incidents in the Bible stories, but I can share with you just a few, okay? Miracle and work happen when faith steps out, moves us, and sets us in motion. How do you balance yourself on a bicycle? Is it easy balance when the bicycle is stationary or when it's moving? Which is easier? When it's moving. When it's moving, you find that you can balance even better when you're still. Sometimes we cannot. We are not balanced in our life because we are not moving in God. Then you wonder why you keep on toppling in life. Move in God, and God will give you balance. Right? So let's move on. The first one, the Jordan River dry up when the priest steps into the water. The river. For us, we see that, no, God, you want me to cross the river? Please. Dry up the river so that I may cross. I want to see before I do. I want to know before I do. God said, trust me. Step in and you will see. So often, we need to make the first step. And God wants us. You know why God wants us? Why don't God show the dry land first and ask them to cross? Because God don't want them to trust in what they can see. Because our God is an invisible God. If you only want to trust in things that you see, then you will have idol. You know what I mean? If you can only trust a God that you can see, then all that you worship is an idol. And our God, Jehovah, is not an idol. That's why he doesn't want them to look and believe anything they can see. And in fact, he destroyed even the temple in the New Testament. You can't see. How can I cross the river? Step, and you will see. So start with faith. Then you know the invisible God. This is how it goes. Second, the 10 lepers who came to Jesus said, oh, you want to be healed. Jesus said, go and see the priest. Show yourself to the priest. What would you say to Jesus? Jesus, everywhere here, no? I already declare I'm clean by the priest. You cleanse me first. You heal me first. Then I will go and show the priest. If I'm still in this current situation with all the sicknesses, symptoms, all this problem, why should I waste my time? Why should I go and see the priest? Why should I make such a useless journey? You wonder that? But as they obey, as they go, as they walk and go to the priest, on the way they were healed. Same thing. Why not Jesus cleanse them first? Let them see, wow, baby skin, and then go and see the priest. No baby skin. As they go, you become baby skin. The lepers. Third, water become wine. The Cana, wedding at the Cana, right? The city of Cana. You realize that who is the one who tell them to do it? Jesus said, fill all the vessels with water. And who knew that this is he going to turn to wine? Only the people, the servant who scoop it up to serve. And you know, during those days, you know, as people, you know, and they have long days or long hours of celebration, and people get drunk towards the end of the banquet, and then as a good, diligent person, you say, okay, now they're a bit drunk, they can't differentiate what is a good wine versus a not so good wine, so we mix it with some water and give them a more lousy wine so we save money on your wedding, right? Mark, don't do that, right? Okay, you say something, but it is, right? But when they do that, and then they serve it, the people are semi-drunk, taste and they say, then they approach the host, wow, you are different, you know. All the wedding I go to, at the end of it, all lousy one. But your one, you keep the best even until the end. Wow, what a testimony. That at the end, you can still give your best because God is in it. Do you believe? Will you fill the jar with plain water and by faith scoop it out and serve? And you will be amazed at what the people will say about the work of God. Five loaves, two fishes, we know. Philip says, so many people, where you want us to buy bread from? Not enough. Count. 1 month salary, 6 month salary, not enough. You say, how much do you have? Oh, they have five loaves for two fishes. Give it to me. Bless it. Then they take the bucket, begin to distribute. Hey, how come the bucket keep on filling up? Auto fill. Then give away. Hey, another one come out. Give away, another one appear. Who knows about it? Does the people who eat know about it? The people that you serve know about it? No, it's the people that who eat doesn't know. It's the people that who serve. No. Do you, many of us are serving God. Do you feel God real in your life when you serve? Do you experience miracle? Do you experience life-changing thing? Do you know that it's something that God communicates only to you? That even the people who eat the bread doesn't know where the bread comes from. But you who serve, you know where is it from. Who makes it happen? So in your life, in your ministry, in everything that you do, your decision, whatever, do you know that God is in it? Are you able to do that? And that's why it's different. Faith works. When faith works. So set your faith in motion. Then you won't topple in your life. So I simply just label it, call this is our commission verse. Okay, the verse Isaiah 54:2-3. So if the vision verse, you have the conforming verse, and then you have the commission verse that help us to direct ourselves. So this is talking about, okay, just be so easy. Okay, love, okay. The vision verse tells us that no, we start off with compassion, with love. And then faith tells us, it gives us the energy, okay, faith to work, and then hope is hope to persevere. So it is the strength or the power. But when you start the journey, you need energy. No, I just remember this from one particular hymn. He said, God baptized me with heavenly energy. You pray that prayer, powerful prayer. God baptized me with heavenly energy. What does energy require? All the physics student. Energy equal to work done, right? Power is reserve. Expense power is energy. Work done. Oh, Stella, not hit. A student. Correct. Okay, at least I remember my physics. Okay, vision, promise, commission. You need the strength to work. And you need the power to preserve because you must have enough reserve so that you can run far. You can finish the journey. So what's agape towards 2024 and beyond? So very quickly, the overcoming faith that we're talking about, overcoming faith will lead to multiplying life. When faith works, you realize that it multiplies. The five loaves and two fishes multiply. The river dry up, not Joshua walk alone, the whole clan of the Israelites walk over. 5 loaves, 2 fishes doesn't feed 12 people. 5,000 people. Multiply. The few jars of water turned into wine feed only 2 tables. Every guest in the banquet. You see that? It multiplies. So overcoming faith have this characteristic, it multiplies. In your life, has anything multiplied? The goodness of God being multiplied, the kindness, the gracious of God, multiplied through you as you serve and you connect with your friends, talk to your friend, through all means. Do you see that in your life, that truly that they are blessed because of you? Okay. So I call it 2x5y. What's 2x5y? Is we want to, not really a goal, a signpost, I used to use the word signpost, that we're going to grow the church, our church, twice, 2x, multiply 2x, in 5 years' time, from 2024 onwards. You think something doable? Mission possible? Mission impossible? Why is it so? Okay, let me explain to you about this 2x5y. So 2x5y is to glorify God by fulfilling the Great Commission together with the body of Christ in every generation by the power of the Holy Spirit through live testimonies and through our services, through our ministry as well. So again, back to the vision. So it's what? It is a signpost to march towards and a milestone to cross. Remember I told you the vision statement, the promise statement? In between, this is where the commission verses, we're talking about we are moving. But sometimes you don't have a clear navigation. I remember that in 2009 when I went to Nepal, Kathmandu, to you know, to a short mission trip with a very senior missionary. I asked him, hey, where does this person live? No, you have the address? He said, oh, there's no address. There's no road name. Ah, no road name. How to go? Oh, he said, over there is very ulu. He said, the instruction they give you is that, no, when you arrive there, then you need to travel like how many km in this direction. Then you come to this little, you know, like maybe you see more, you know, more houses, and then it's a more busy area. Then you count the third traffic light. Then you turn right. No road name. And then you go further down. Then further down, like maybe 1-2 km away. Then you see a big tree. Then there's a junction, a big tree at the junction. Ah, that particular junction, you turn left. Then you go to this lorong, and then I'm house number 3. The third house is my house. Like that. So you realize that I know exactly where I want to go, right? The vision, the promise tell me that I will end there. I want to go to that pastor's house in Kathmandu. I know exactly where I will be. But along the way, I need signposts to tell me. If somebody has never been to Singapore, come to Singapore, Changi Airport, landed, what will you tell him? Singapore, easy. Just jump onto the cab, tell the address, then he will bring it to you. But then you ask somebody to find a way. Let's say you go to a pastor's park or whatever. You don't know whether to turn left or turn right. Then you look at the signposts. So 2x5y is not a goal of a church. 2x5y is a signpost that God is leading to something greater than the 2x5y. But in order to help us, God give us this sign. I didn't translate that in this side, sorry. So it is a sign, but also as a symbol of hope for us, for all that who labor, that it is a journey of faith, it's a journey of experiencing God in it. Because we're going to reach something beyond. But before you reach, just say that you're traveling from Geylang to my home in Pasir Ris. I'll tell you that you will pass by Bedok. You'll pass by Tampines. If you go the other way around, you may maybe see Bedok Reservoir. So I give you a sign. But is Bedok, Tampines your end goal? It is not. But it's something that guides your direction so that you will not turn the other way and go Jurong Point. You will go to the east side. This is what it is. So often in life, God always gives us signposts. Keep that in mind. Don't take everything God gives to you in life as something absolute. Often it is a signpost, especially to deal with your current life. It's always a direction pointer. It shows you. When it comes through, you know that God. You know, sometimes when you do something wrong, for example, I always talk about parents. The parent labor for their children. If you tell you, oh, I serve the children so hard, the children never express anything back to me. Feel very sad. But I still love the children, right? But one day, God opened the eyes of the children, the heart of the children. They come back, hug the mommy, say, mommy, I love you, kiss, 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 kiss. And the mommy, wow, 值得了, you know. Or 值得了, whatever. Why? Sometimes in the long journey of faith, we need encouragement. And signposts are what to tell you that, good job, you're on the right track. Continue, you're on the way, you're on the right track. Continue, continue. Yes, I'm with you, you're on the right track. This is encouragement that God gives to us. Don't you think so? Marathon, why do people cheer along the way? Let them run, I wait at the end point. You see, along the way, people cheer and cheer and cheer. Why you need cheering? Because we are weak, in spite of the faith that we have. You see, weak. Often, so we need one another to cheer one another. And God said, I will cheer you. I will give you this. When you see this happen, you know that I am with you. You know that I'm doing it with you. You know that you're on the right track. So church, be happy that God has shown something. There's something he kind of shared it with us, and we can embrace it and go on with him. So this is the Jessing Main Hall, 240 packs. Right. So if we're going to expand 2x, this is how it's going to be. 480 packs. Assuming we bought either the left or the right side. Yeah. Now, yeah, thanks to Terrence who used months to come up with this thing. Okay. And he sent it to me on Friday night. So I said, okay, just thanks for the sermon. When Isaiah tells the people, extend your tent so that more children, more people can live under the cover. Has the children, did they see the children yet? No. Lengthen the cord. Has all the kids come back? They begin to multiply, bear more children already? The children already born? Not yet. Any parents who on the day of birth bring the baby home? Ayo. Where the baby going to sleep? What are you going to wear? What kind of milk powder are you going to drink? Bring a mother like that. No parents will do that. Months before that, decorate the room, baby cot, pampers, fill up the whole wardrobe with all colors, you know, can be pink, can be blue, can be whatever, you know, to do also, buy half a dozen, you know. Prepare, well stocked out. Pampers, one pack, two pack, three pack. So many, why? In preparation, why? Because they know that it's coming. How you know it's coming? Because the evidence. Where does the evidence come from? Because he knew it. Remember, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Do you see it as evidence? Or you see it just a whims? Oh, somebody's conjured up such imagination to spur us so that we know we're lazy in church. Nothing to do with that. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. When the evidence come, you prepare. So do you see it as evidence? Or you just take it that, oh, that's another imagination, another slogan for us to move forward. No. I'll just share with you a few verses to encourage you. From John 5, it says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. I just start with verse 35. If you look at it, it says that, what will we say? Do you not say, means we are saying this, there are yet 4 months. No need to prepare now. There are yet 4 months. This is not the right time to share with my mom. This is not the right time to do this. This is not never the right time. Not the right time to talk. This is not the right time to do. This is not the right time. We always think it's not the right time. But Jesus tell them what? Already. Lift up our white for harvest. Nervous is already. In Chinese, very easy. Yijing, okay, here. And see that the fields are white. Means ready for harvest. Already. Today, sometimes we hold back. Remember, holding back? Do not hold back. We hold back because you think the time is not right. We hold back, you think that, because all these things, all the senses tell us that, no, cannot be. As a pastor, sometimes we invited to visit somebody, and then the member tell me, 你不要跟他传福音哦。 他会很生气的，就你叫我去做什么？陪他喝茶。 明白说, it's like that. Oh, it was like that. Why don't we trust and commit to the Lord? Remember the question mark? If it turned out to be an exclamation mark, then sekali you share the gospel with him, he's so open to accept. 哎呦，不可能啊，不可能啊，不可能啊 ！Exclamation mark! Exclamation mark! 怎么可能？怎么可能 ？This is what it is. You think it's yet 4 months? You think this is not the right time for you to do? You think this is not the right time for you to step out of your comfort zone to stretch and to extend? It is the right time. In John 5, it says, "In this is a story." Jesus went on there, and there's two blind men that followed Jesus, and calling out, said, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoor, the blind man came to him and he asked them. Two blind men came to Jesus and Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe that I can do this?" "Yes, Lord," they say. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." Today we say to Agape Church, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." Do you believe? Does the two blind men believe, truly believe? The answer is yes, because what? It shows. And their sight was restored. Their sight was restored. Before that, they were blind. And then they see. Where is the transformation? Yes, Lord, I believe. A blind person become a person who can see. The transformation for us is faith. For faith sees beyond. And this is it. Anybody know this person? William Carey. We call him the father of the modern mission. And he said this very popular verse, very famous, often quoted verse, says that expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. You can expect great things for God because who God is. God is omnipresent. Only you connect with the Almighty. You can do that. So you can expect great things of God. God is not a little God. Our God is the Almighty God. He's big. His majesty. His trail fills the temple. His glory fills the earth. He's great. Expect great things from a great God. Right? Then, attempt great things for God. He said, "Oh, seeing God is so great, why not let God do, I don't do." God say, "Let's do together. Five loaves and two fishes." He need the disciples to bring the five loaves and two fishes. He can just, dung, enough banquet for 5,000. Why so difficult get people to pour the water into the jar and scoop up again? Dung, all banquet ready. Why must get the priest to, gingerly walk to the riverbank and step on it. Ding, both sides dry. Very simple. Why Jesus need to come to earth and die for us? Ding, all safe. So fun, so nice. Right? You realize that? No, attempt. God wants us to find that. How God connect with us? By working with us. Often you realize that we get to know one another closer because of relationship. Working together, living together. Because in the body of Christ, you realize the connection is stronger. That's why God chooses the 12 disciples. You read, I think in Matthew, it says that. Why Jesus chose 12 disciples? So that they can be with him. You realize? You're going to read again. He chose the 12 disciples so that they can be with him. Why? Spend time with him. Eat with him, drink with him. Then go to the storm in Galilee with him. Then witness the five loaves and two fishes with him. Witness how the 10 lepers are being healed. Witness the woman with the issue of blood. The dead daughter of Jairus are being raised. Be a witness so that they can be with him to be his witness. So that they can share. So that when the great commission is given, go into all the world and tell. They have story to tell. Do you have story to tell about your life? The footprint of Jesus in your life. The people can never deny that God is alive in you. He may disagree. He may not accept your God as his God. But he cannot deny your God is real in your life. Look at Jesse. Even though he shared so many times about his, I was with him in Ubon. He shared. And then all the 16 of the cancer patients all cried. Most of them cried. A witness of the goodness and the mercy of God. So, as I prepare this, I love all the old hymns because I grew up in a church that sing hymns. And hymns is so rich. It's our spiritual heritage. I think maybe we could learn more to sing hymns. And this is one particular one called Praise to the Lord Almighty. It's a common verse. In fact, if you watch King Charles' coronation, they sing this hymn in the church in Westminster. Okay. It says that in verse 3, in stanza, praise to the Lord who will prosper your work and defend you. Ah, this is what we like, right? Surely his goodness and mercy shall daily attend you. Oh, this is all we like. Then he said this thing, ponder anew what the Almighty can do. Today I want to challenge all of us, ponder anew what the Almighty can do through you and through the church. Ponder anew. If you can do all this that I share with you, the many examples of miracle, how faith works, ponder anew what he can do to you in your life, through you, through the church, through your family, through our ministry, through the outreach, through our prayer, through our worship and praise, through our children ministry, our mission, through our self group. Ponder anew. Think. I think it's exciting to think again. I mean, think and think again what the Almighty can do. If with his love, he befriends you because he's for you. Remember the words you always say? If he's for you, if God is for us, who can be against us? If we love, he befriends you. So he's for you. He roots for you. So ponder anew. Do not hold back by your own little faith, by your own short-sightedness, by the limitation of your imagination. Remember? He can do far exceedingly than all that we can even ask or think of. Far exceedingly. This is what the thing is. So in verse 4, praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. And we experience that this is what the awesomeness of worship. There's nothing that you can do for God to add to his glory. There's nothing that you can say to God besides worshiping him. Say, oh, let all that is in me. My mouth is not enough. My heart must involve. My every, you know, my every, all that is in me, everything that's in me must worship him. Like the psalmist say, all that has life and breath, come now with praise. Not just me, because God is grace, the creator of all the earth. Not just me. Let the cat also worship God. Let the dog also worship God. Let the pine tree sway in praise to God. Right? You sing some of the hymns, say, oh, the forest, the tree claps their hands to worship God. Metaphorically, it's a depiction of the greatness of God that all creation will praise him. But because we have the advantage, God give us the privilege, the grace that we can walk and work with him. He said, therefore, let the amen sound from his people again. Is that the God that you know? The Almighty God? If it is, and you ponder anew what he can do, then let the amen sound from all his people again. Church, this is what we need to do. When you hear the vision, you see the vision. You ask yourself, I believe that this is what God is going to do. And he's able to do it. And I must set myself in motion. Faith works when faith works. And then I will see, yes, I will experience, I will ponder anew what the Almighty can do. And at the end when we come together, we say, let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly forever adore him. Will we come to that state? That we truly, truly experience, and then we have this agape story. You have a story that I have a story to tell. So do not hold back, for it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you, agape, a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends. I'll end with this verse. Jesus said to Martha, don't I tell you that if you believe, you would see God's glory. many of us want to see God's glory manifested through us, in us, around us, everywhere. Didn't I tell you? If you believe, you will see not just 2x, 5y. You will see beyond that. Beyond that. Amen. So let's, this 2x, 5y is a mission possible. It's almost in your pocket. How will you do? Extend the tent, lengthen your cord, strengthen your pack, stretch it out, and you will see what God will work through us. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. Can I invite the worship team, and you worship, and you this hymn, this song, to respond to God as you sing. Let this word sings into us. And you speak it, when you sing it, I want you to sing it out of faith and really mean it. Say, I want to ponder anew what the Almighty can do in my life, in my children's life, in the church, in any situation. All the question mark, all the curve, all the turn and the crooked will be straightened. Exclamation mark at the end. Let's rise.